morning. Welcome to Westminster. If you're visiting this morning, I'm Pastor Wade. It's a privilege to have you with us. I would love to meet you following the service. There are these pads on the side of each pew that you can pass down and sign. Those would be good to pass down at this time if you haven't already done so. This morning, we are concluding our study in the Gospel of Mark. And I want you to turn with me to page 853 in the Pew Bible, or Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. And we're going to pair that passage, Mark 16, 5 through 7, with 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. As we sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the last stanzas there joined the incarnation, the vision of the incarnation to the work of Christ and the cross as the second Adam and the resurrection. And this morning we have that privilege of seeing the whole earthly ministry, full view of the earthly ministry of our Savior who has died and who has given Himself for us. So let's pray and let's hear God's Word. And let's thank the Lord for resurrection power that is at work presently among us. Our Father in heaven, how we delight that we can come and we can join in words and song and gospel truth to proclaim that You are our God and that we are Your people. How we delight in the coming of Christ and how we long for the return of Christ. How we thank You that Emmanuel is with us. Teach us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, then we'll turn over to 1 Peter. Here is the passage of women who enter the tomb to find Jesus. They want to prepare Him for His burial. He has been in the tomb. They want to prepare His body for the tomb. They are astonished. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where He laid, but go and tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see Him just as He told you." And then Peter, reflecting, the one who had deserted the Savior at the cross, reflecting on the power of His resurrection in His epistle in 1 Peter. It's page 1014 in the Pew Bible. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm going to be a forgetful old man. I know this because I'm a forgetful middle-aged man. I have this challenge, it seems. Generally not the big things, but the small things. They can be significant things, but the smaller things in my day, I tend to lose. Sometimes I lose the details. Or like I will be sitting at my desk. I will be working on the computer in one hand and writing on a notepad in the other hand. And I will be focused on my work, and all of a sudden, I can't find my pen. You ever find that problem? I will be looking for my pen. I will pick up I will look behind the computer. I will feel around and try to find it. And all of a sudden, I will put my hands on my head, and there is my pen. It was with me all the time. I do it with my phone. I will lay my phone down on my desk or near the bed, and I will do several things, and it will end up a pile, and I will dismantle the whole room looking for the phone. I even got that app for my iPad so you can find your phone, and it just gives me the address. That's not helpful enough. I will walk around looking for my car keys, and they are in my pocket all the time. Yes, I know, some of you are worried about senility and it's only on early onset for me. But I do that. I get so focused on other things that I lose things close to me. I may have just set them down minutes ago, but my mind has rushed on to other things, and I am at a loss to remember what I have done with that. You know what I find? Many of us do that with Jesus. In His cross and resurrection. It is ever present. It is always near. It is abundantly powerful for us in our life. It is right there. And often we feel like it is lost, gone. And yet, Jesus' resurrection. For the women at the tomb, the angel was the clarion call of a present, living, powerful Savior. And Peter reminds you that you have a living hope today. You know, at Christmas we celebrate the hope of Jesus coming. In the resurrection we celebrate the hope of Christ's power. We long for the fullness of His presence and His return. And at Christmas time, it's good to remember that though we may feel lost, we have a Savior who has not lost us. He is near, He is here, and He is powerful to transform us. It's the heart of the resurrection. We started last week on this topic of practicing resurrection, and I wanted you to see there last week that there is a now power to the work of Christ. When the Bible in the New Testament talks about the resurrection, it talks about a transforming power that is presently at work. You need the now of the ever-changing work of Jesus and that resurrection power in your life. And that power that is presently at work in us gives us confidence to live. As a matter of fact, I would say this. The resurrection is the now power of God presently at work in us that we may confidently live. And I want you to see the power of that confidence that a believer is to have this morning. We need a big R&R. Now, I know it's Christmas. Some of y'all are going on vacation after this week, and you're ready for some R&R, right? When you hear R&R, you think of rest and relaxation. And that's a good thing. I hope you will enjoy your rest and relaxation. But I'm speaking in the biblical sense of R&R. You need a big view of R&R, of the resurrection and return of Christ. We live between those poles of the great work of Jesus, the finished work of His salvation that is seen in God's affirmation in raising Him from the dead, even as we long for the fullness of His presence in return. Live with a great view of the resurrection and return of Christ. Because Peter tells us, He who is risen, He who is not here, He who is ready to meet us, gives us a living hope, a confidence, as we look to the future and live in the presence. Resurrection living is confident living because of the hope of Christ given to us. And so this morning I want you to see three things about this resurrection hope that belongs to the believer. If you're considering the claims of Christ this morning, a believer lives in the hope of what another has done in their place. They rest their weight upon what Jesus has done at the cross and in the resurrection. They rest and trust by faith and the finished work of another. And they live by hope for the consummation of all things being made new in Jesus. And the resurrection instills in us hope. I want you to see hope's safe deposit. I'm sure many of y'all have safety deposit boxes at some local bank. If you live here, you've got some box where you keep stuff at the bank. Is that right? I mean, some of you keep important documents there. Maybe you keep your passports or your legal documents. You keep your will. Maybe some of you keep sentimental things there, you know, pictures or the $2 bill that your grandfather gave you when you were 3 years old or something like this. But we are prone to want to have a safe place to put things. We need a safe spot. If you've ever been robbed, you realize how precarious that is, that things are easily stolen. And so we get a box to put our important documents and things on. We want a safe place, a safety deposit. In this sense, the resurrection is a safe deposit on the coming reality of our full inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father, Peter says, for our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy with which He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. An inheritance. Guarded, Peter will say, and held safe for us. He is reflecting upon the very resurrection power that He is risen. He is risen indeed. As a sure and certain hope of confident living, we continually endeavor to hold on to the hope that cannot be taken. Remember the first time I went to my dad to the bank when we were going to get in this safety deposit box. He had to get some passports or something, and I remember we had to wait and wait and wait. Dad, why are we here? And get me a sucker. And that was the only purpose for going to a bank anyway when I was young, was to get the sucker. But I remember, you know, we had to stand in queue to get in line. And sometimes the wait seems long. Sometimes our hope is pressed. But it's a good hope. As a matter of fact, it's a living hope in Christ. We hold on in hope to that which is sure. That's the resurrection power at work. We're holding fast to what is sure. We continually take hold of what God is guarding. That is our hope. And I want you to know this morning, God is not indifferent to you. He is near. God is not absent in your trials, in your struggles, in your hardships. He is present. God is not against you. He is working life out for you. God is keeping that safe deposit of a good inheritance, even as He is making us and blessing us in the power of Christ's resurrection by His mercy. God's at work. Death no longer reigns in the believer. As a matter of fact, we hear the bells of death's funeral in the resurrection of Jesus. You know, it's the only funeral I ever want to go to, and that's death's funeral. And that's what the resurrection of Jesus begins to show us. We have the good hope that death is defeated in the life of Christ. And we need to live today as if our life eternally is held safe in the power and work of our resurrected God. God is able. What does that transform in our life? What if I told you I could give you the sure promise that you would never be robbed? That I could give you a possession that could never be stolen from you? How would that change you? And here is the hope that can't be stolen. Here's the hope that can't be taken, the hope of Christ in His finished work, affirmed in the resurrection. Many, many years ago, there was a preacher named John Chrysostom. And Chrysostom was a noted pulpiteer. He was a great preacher And he got the ire of the empress. The empress wanted him to stop preaching. She wanted to control what he was preaching. And so he was brought before her, and he was threatened. He was threatened for his life. And in the conversation, it is recorded that as he came before this empress, she told him that she was going to banish him. And Chrysostom said, "You cannot banish me, for this world is my Father's house." "But I will kill you," said the empress. "No, you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ in God." "I will take away all your treasures," she said. "No, you cannot, for my treasure is in heaven, and my heart is there." "But then," she said, "I will drive you away from all your friends, and you will have no one left." To which Chrysostom is reported to have responded, "No, you cannot. I have a friend in heaven from whom you cannot separate me. I defy you, for there is nothing you can do to harm me." There was a man who lived with confidence in the living hope of a resurrected Savior, who felt safe and safely held in the work of Christ. See, the resurrection is a confidence. I want you to live with confidence, with hope. I know there are times when your hopes are dashed. I sit with people all the time who can't quite see the next step because they are blinded in their own hopelessness. But it's a better belief that guards your heart in the challenging times. Because we need to see our safety, we also need to see that there is security. I want you not only to see hope's safe deposit this morning, I want you to see hope's security. You don't have to pay for what's already been paid for. Your security is held in trust in heaven, legally, purposely, fully, in the hands of God who guards it. We are in Christ. We are secure. That's the mantra. That's the heart of a believer. That's our security. That we are held fast and that we are the benefactors of this resurrection. We are benefactors of Jesus' work at the cross. He has taken us. And in taking hold of us, we are secure. And notice that this confidence comes from an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is kept in heaven for us. It is imperishable. That means it's permanent. It is undefiled. That means it is pure. It is unfading. It will last. God at work for us. A few years ago, I was standing in a restaurant waiting for someone in this room, actually. We were going to have lunch together. So I was at Payway, and I had sat down on one of the chairs to the side. And as I had sat down, a man came and sat beside me. He, too, was waiting on someone to meet him for lunch. His name was David Gardner. Now, I didn't know who David Gardner was, but he explained to me that he owned a little jewelry shop in town. And we had a great conversation for a couple of minutes, and he wanted to know what I did. And I told him that I was a pastor in town, and told him about you, and we were talking about ministry for a few moments, and then the guy he was having lunch with showed up, and he said, "You want to join us?" I said, no, my friend will be here. Y'all go ahead." And so they went on through the line. And after a few minutes of fashionable lateness, my friend showed up for lunch. And so we made our way up to the line in Payway, and I began to order my wontons and my Mongolian beef. And when I went to pay for it, the lady said, "No, you can't pay." I said, "You're giving to me for free?" She said, "No, David Gardner has already paid for it." I said, "Well, how did David Gardner know what I was going to get?" She said, "Sir, it's been paid for. Move on." You know what I've learned? When it's paid for, you don't argue. You don't fight back. You receive. And I'm thankful. With David Gardner, it was a free lunch. With Christ, it is all things eternal. God is making all things new, and it is paid for. Our security is in Christ, and we receive. You know, I find where people lose their hope is they're always trying to gain. They think the Christian walk is where we gain what we don't have. They think of sanctification, the pursuit of Jesus, the pursuit of Christ is gaining something that I don't have. And yet the cross and resurrection, what it teaches us is that we already have it all. It's paid for. Sanctification is living in the newness of what God has provided for you. It's paid for. Our hope is that we get to, our living hope is that we get to live in the transforming power of the resurrection. You don't have to spend your days proving your worth to Jesus. Jesus has already proved His worth to you. The Christian life is taking hold of the power that was at work to raise Jesus from the dead with thankfulness. The Christian life is a dependent responsibility when it comes to our walk in this living hope. We are dependent fully on what God has done for us in Jesus. We're not giving Him new things. We're taking hold of true things in the wonder of the power of Christ. Your security this morning, it is held in trust in heaven. It is an inheritance that is transforming all things as God makes all things new. That's the power of the resurrection. And God is giving that to you now. Oh, yes, there is a fullness to come, but there is a present reality to the gift of God's grace. Take hold. You will pursue Him as you rest in Him, as you rest in resurrection power. Your view of life changes, and your taste for the world is dulled, and your love for Christ is strengthened. And that's the heart of this resurrecting world. So we live with confidence because we have this security that our Christ has won and gifted us as children. We live with the benefits of the work of the resurrected Savior. You know, I grew up with dyslexia, and some of my children have wrestled with at least forms of that. One probably a true dyslexic. Others have had their challenges in learning to read, and once they get going, they're good. And some, our church is filled with specialists in teaching people to read. And so I've asked every one of them, you know, how do you teach somebody to read? And they've all come down to two things. You got to teach them to decode, and then you work on fluency. Which basically, in a layman's term, I'm sorry to the experts, means you slow them down before you speed them up. You give them a way to see the word and to work out the form of the word, because the problem with dyslexia is not too little information getting into the head when it comes to reading. It's too much. It's seeing too many options. And so when you want to teach somebody who has dyslexia to read, you slow them down. You help them decode the word. I mean, we drew letters in the air and in the sand, and we sounded it out, and we would work with cues. And my first son, I thought maybe he would never read fully. And all of a sudden, it took off. And then the next task was not just to get him to read the words. It was to become fluent in his reading. I don't know if you know this. I mean, they got tests. Your kids are supposed to read so many words a minute. I don't remember the exact grade when you're supposed to read 130 words a minute, but I remember at one point we were trying to get to that, and it was about 80 words a minute, and I was like, is this going to work? And we started doing some fluency testing, and all of a sudden, in a few months, I get a kid who's reading with speed. And what we did was we slowed him down, and then we sped him up. And he could read me under the bus every day of the week and twice on Sundays now. Loves to read. Why? Because he got it. And there's a fluency to his understanding of the art and work of reading. It was work. But it had benefits. You know, some of y'all got spiritual dyslexia. You struggle. You just run into that same truth again and again and again, don't you? You just get locked up. And I want to tell you, you're not unique in that. A lot of us deal with that. And yet, instead of giving up, what I want you to do is go to decoding, decode God's mercies and grace. Decode the power of the work of Christ at the cross and in the resurrection. Look with confidence to what He is doing. And as you gain fluency in that, as you learn to decode the mysteries of the gospel, and as you gain fluency in the powers of the gospel, you will see God is making all things new. It often starts slow. But when it picks up speed, when the security you have in Christ captures you, and you see the hope that Christ has promised, the joys of life are profound. Your hope has a direct impact on your joy. If you find yourself struggling this morning, it may be that your hope is not placed in the right place. Your hope has a direct impact on your joy. And you know what? What Mark is showing us, what Paul has emphasized in Colossians 3, and what Peter emphasizes here in 1 Peter, is that we have a living hope unto a living joy that is secure in Christ. You need to see the safety for hope is found in the resurrection of Christ. The security of hope is clinging to the work of Christ. And thirdly, I want you to see that this is lasting. It's a living hope that will not die. You see that it is guarded by God Himself. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to depend on myself to keep up with this living hope that God brings. I don't know. Some of y'all quickly realized that I had put a pin in my ear this morning. And so those of you who love me, I looked around the room, and before I even got to my illustration, you didn't realize that was purposeful, because some of you know that I'm prone to forgetfulness and silly things. And so I'd look around the room as I was beginning the sermon, people were pointing to their ear. They didn't want me to look stupid. You know, I look stupid in my relationship to Christ all the time, so what's the big deal about a pen? I'm in need of God's guarding the wealth that is mine in Jesus every day. I need the reminder of good friends. And I need the reminder of the gospel. And I need the work of the Spirit to help me see that what God has started, He will finish, that He is sustaining me in a hope of all that is to come. There's a lady who has ministered for a number of years, particularly among those who are disabled, who was in a diving accident when she was 17 years old. Her name is Joni Erickson Tada, and she has written a number of books on the trials and sufferings of life, particularly as one who is disabled, and in the sustaining hope of what Christ will do in making all things new. Recently, I was reading a passage from Joni Erickson's work, and she was talking about how at one time she was speaking at a conference. But before she spoke, another one spoke, and they had a time of worship and speaking, and the preacher had everybody in the room kneel down before God, to bow before God, and Joni was the only person in the room who was physically unable to do so. So everyone was on their knees in worship before God. And tears just started streaming down her face. When I got to that part of the story, I was kind of mad. Well, that's insensitive. I don't think enough about those things. And then Joni brought some correction to my heart. She wasn't crying because of self-pity. She wasn't feeling self-pity, but she was crying because of joy. She saw there what would happen in heaven and what she would be able to do one day. And she wrote something that went something like this. One day, as I saw these worshipers bowing before God in the hope and joy of the cross, one day I realized that in heaven I would have new legs. And I would be able to dance and run and jump and do aerobics. And I decided that the first thing I would do in that moment is that I would drop to my knees in worship before my God, who is restoring and making all things new. Now that's my paraphrase. She actually said it better. But there's the power of sustained hope in the gospel of Christ. Some of you will be ready to move to the beginning of the Bible from the gospel, since we've been in Mark for almost a year and a half now. But wherever we go in the Bible, we will not leave this truth behind. There is a Savior to meet your need. There is a Savior who has won your soul. There is a Savior who is making all things new. In the Christian life is living with a refined hope and focus upon all that Jesus has done. When the storms assail us, the anchor still holds because God is true to His people. And He's proved it in raising Jesus from the dead. When your faith falters and you wonder why God won't get on your page, He won't fail you. And He won't get on your page. But He'll draw you to follow. To take up your cross and follow. You see, God wants for us to see the beauty and wonder of His resurrecting power, the fullness of that which is at work in us, and to take hold of what He is doing. And that's what we do by faith. That's why Peter starts here, and that's why the Gospels end at the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection is not the end for Jesus and His followers. It's the beginning. You know, at the cross, His followers thought it was the end. That's why they had come to the tomb. They thought it was the end. And they were grieving the loss of their King. And Jesus is saying at the resurrection, it's just the beginning. And He'd say that to you today. All that He is doing in your life is a new beginning by faith in the resurrection power and work of God. We live today with God's eternal tomorrow ever in view because He guards us. You know, every night when I go to bed, because I'm generally the last one to go to sleep in my house, almost always, every night when I go to bed, I go around and I check all the doors to make sure they're locked. And I make sure the dog bowl is inside. Most of the time, the dog is already inside in the kennel, but I make sure the dog bowl is inside so the possums don't wake me up at 3. And then I go around and I look at my treasures. And I put on blankets. And I give blessings. And I speak over words over them in their sleep that they don't even know are being uttered. Because the heart of the Father is to guard. The heart of the Father is to care. I check in. And I check on my children. Because I care. I'm often a failure as a dad. But God is never a failure as a dad. And this morning, your Father in heaven wants you to take hold of a living hope of the resurrection power that is ours in Christ Jesus. And He guards it well. Your hope is in the strong grip of a strong, living Savior to the glory of the Father. May the Spirit do it well in our lives. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that You would help us with a better belief towards a trusting life that we might take hold of the beauties of grace and the power of your resurrection. And that we may sing with joy that he is risen. He is not here. That we might know the living hope which sustains and secures and holds us safe in the mercies of you, our great Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.